And so we're jumping into kind of the second week of our Galatians study. Last week, Tim started us off by helping us see that we need an anchor in this life. And Scripture does that for us. It helps us see things and frees us to be who God designed us to be. And so for this week, we're looking at a deeper picture of Paul, right? Paul shares with us really quickly on that he was a guy who was persecuting this fledgling church, this new ministry, and he was seeking to kind of put an end to them, but he had this amazing transforming experience with Jesus. And so he's defending his authority. He's defending his telling of the gospel. And it's this important thing for us to really latch onto before we move on into anything else in Galatians is understanding this gospel truth that Paul has been given from Jesus himself. And this is a really interesting thing. Like, I think it's good for us in this moment to maybe pull back a little bit from that and ask the question, who was Paul? Why is Paul important? And what was it about Paul that was special? And it's interesting to note, right, who Paul was, right? And so we're going to look at three things that Paul really was important to him and important to this story. And it goes a bit like this, right? Paul was from Tarsus. He had a Greek background. But not only that, he was a part of the Jewish religious class that led these spiritual part of Jerusalem. He's known as a Pharisee. And not only that, but he was a Roman citizen. And each of those three things really gives us a context or a deeper understanding of why Paul was important. So I think it's good for us to get an understanding of this Greek background, right? So Paul was from a city called Tarsus. I'm not 100% sure if I'm saying that correctly, but it's how I grew up saying it. So if you say it a different way, that's okay. But there's this really interesting Greek background that Tarsus had. And there was a Greek historian named Strabo. Again, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but he had some things to say about Tarsus, and I'd like to read them to you. This is what he says about the people of Tarsus. He says, "The people at Tarsus have devoted themselves so eagerly, not only to philosophy, but also to the whole round of education in general, that they've surpassed Athens, Alexandria, and any other place that can be named where there have been schools and lecturers and philosophers. Further, the city of Tarsus has all kinds of schools of rhetoric, and in general, not only has a flourishing population, but also is most powerful, thus keeping up the reputation of the mother city." And we know that mother city to be Rome. Right, and Paul himself says in Acts, it's in Acts 21:39 that he describes himself. He says, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a city that is no ordinary city." And I think that's important for us to note, right, that he has this Jewish background, but he also has this Greek background. And he's well-versed in rhetoric. He's well-versed in philosophy. And he even quotes some of these people when he's using these opportunities that he has to share the gospel. One of my favorite ones is in Acts, where he quotes a Greek poet. And maybe you're even familiar with this and didn't know that it was a Greek poet. But he says, in him, and he's talking about God, he says, "In him we move, we live and move and have our being." Right? He's using this Greek background to proclaim the truth about God to people who don't know him yet. And it's a really important part for us to understand. Not only did he have this Greek background, but he was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish religious leader, and he was brought up in this tradition. Scripture teaches us a few different things about him. It says that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, which is a way of saying that he's kind of big noting himself. He's saying that if there was a group of people that were ever Hebrew, that he was a part of it. And not only that, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And this is a way of saying that not only was he a Pharisee, but he comes from a family of Pharisees. And not only that, but he was taught under the tutelage of maybe one of the greatest Pharisees, a guy named Gamaliel. And so he's got this Jewish background, right? He has this deep understanding of the Jewish law and what that meant for people that worshiped God. And just as he used Greek philosophy and rhetoric to reach those Greek people, he also, after he met Jesus, used that understanding of the Jewish religious law to reach those people who lived in that scenario. He was an important person who was Greek, had a Greek background, but he was also Jewish, and also he was a Roman citizen. So this deal about him being a Roman citizen was a pretty big thing at the time. If you'll remember back, we've learned some things over the past couple of years that in this time, the Romans kind of ruled everything, right? They were occupiers of Israel, and they were in charge of dealing out punishment, dealing out capital punishment for that matter, and it made a big deal. And Paul has this Roman citizenship, but he doesn't always bring it out. But there's some important things to note. It says in Acts chapter 16, Paul has been taken into custody, and him and some of his fellow believers have been beaten. And this is what he says. They've beaten us publicly, right? Uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and they've thrown us into prison. And they now don't want to get rid of us secretly. No, they need to come themselves and take us out. And the police reported these words to the magistrates, and the magistrates were afraid when they heard them, because these men were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them and took them out and asked them to leave the city. Paul was a bit of a troublemaker with his gospel presentations, kind of making a big deal about this everywhere he went. So he uses this Roman citizenship kind of as a get out of jail free card in some of these situations, which is important to note because as a Roman citizen, you were afforded some real luxuries, right? You could vote, which not everybody could do. You could own property, which definitely everybody can do. And you weren't supposed to be tortured or crucified, but you could also appeal to Caesar. So like you could say, because I'm a Roman citizen, I want to take my case to the highest court possible, right? And so this idea, this understanding of what it means to be a Roman citizen was really important to Paul because then it allowed him at a certain point in his ministry to do that very thing, to appeal to the highest court in the land, to take his personal testimony of what God had done, of what Jesus had transformed in his life, and take it to the very most powerful person in the land, right? And so just as Paul uses this Greek background to reach Greek people, just as he uses his Jewish heritage to reach Jewish people for Christ, he's using his Roman citizenship in order to proclaim the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. This good news, this new gospel, this way of being transformed into who God had designed everyone to be and letting everyone know about it. But I think what's really important for us to understand is none of these three things would have been used in a kingdom way if he had never met Jesus, right? The idea here at the beginning of our verses is that he was persecuting the church. He was terrorizing the church. Early in Acts, it says that he was breathing murderous threats, that he was there at some of the murders that took place and he was giving his stamp of approval to it. And so how did this work of grace happen in Paul's life? To take these things that were a part of who he was, a very important part of how he lived and what he believed, and use them for the furthering of God's word, was he met Jesus. Right? This is the most important thing. This is a work of grace that God has done. And this is what he's defending, right? Is that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He met him and he shared with him. The revelation is the word that's used there of this gospel. It didn't come from Peter, right? It didn't come from any of the disciples. It didn't come from the brother of Jesus, James, who didn't join the group until after Jesus had died and ascended into heaven, right? It came from Jesus himself. And this is what's so important that Paul is defending, this gospel, this good news, this revelation of transformation that can happen as a work of grace came directly from Jesus. And some people had come into this Galatian church and began challenging that this gospel was really from directly from the Lord, that it must have come from somewhere else. And Paul is defending that. And it's important for us to remember that, that this is a work of grace. And it came out, it came about as a result of meeting Jesus himself. And we're going to take some time, right, to reflect on this work of grace, because there's nothing so good as the work of grace that God can do in our hearts when we meet Jesus. And so the team's going to sing a song, and I love this song, right? Your grace is enough. It's more than I need. And by your Spirit, I'm made whole. I'm made new. And so my hope and my prayer for us today is that we would understand this work of grace, not only in Paul's life and how important it was, but that we would also understand this work of grace and how important it is in our own lives, that his grace is enough, that it's more than I'll ever need, and that his Spirit transforms us into the person that we were always meant to be. And so let's take some time and reflect on that. And after the song's over, I'm going to come back and invite us and pray for us into this new season as we dive deeper into Galatians. So I'll see you in just a minute.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will be. Jesus, light the way.
Thanks for that, guys. I really appreciate those words, right? Freely, he gave it all for us. And really, that's the heartbeat of what Paul's saying, right? That it's Jesus and Jesus alone. And this gospel comes straight from Jesus, right? To him, and he's sharing that with the world around him. Wherever he finds himself going, whether it's to Jews or to people with Greek or Roman descent, he is sharing the good news of Jesus, that there is this new creation, that you can meet Jesus and be transformed. And that's so amazing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, right? And I hope that you've had that same experience, right? Because there is no greater love. There is no hope that's sweeter than the hope of Jesus. There is no gift of grace that is more needed than the gift that Jesus brings and gives to us. There's no peace, I think, that maybe is more secure than the peace that Jesus brings. It doesn't mean that our situation is always good. It doesn't mean that our circumstances are always awesome, right? Paul definitely, and Tim alluded to this last week, you know, at the end of Galatians, he says, I bear on my body the marks of Christ, right? There's this deep understanding that sometimes our situation doesn't reflect what we want it to be, but meeting Jesus changes everything, right? It brings about a transformation that when you become the person that Jesus designed you to be, that Jesus redeemed you to be, the whole world, right, is a benefactor of that, right? It gets a benefit for the whole world when you walk in the fullness and the faith and the confidence of who Jesus says you are. And really, the converse of that is true too, that the world misses out when we don't meet Jesus, when we don't become, or we're not freed up to be who Jesus designed us to be. And we often will say, when circumstances change, then I'll do something new. Or when, you know, when this season has passed, I'll start doing something different. And you know, Jesus isn't waiting for you to fix yourself or to feel better about yourself or to be even anything different than what you are today in this moment. Is his gift of grace is to you. And that transformation that comes from that relationship is so, so good. And so I hope that you'll enter into that. If you've never entered into that, we would love to have a chat with you. And you can always contact us through our website or our email. But we would love to be a part of that journey, to fight for the relationship that Jesus has for us in this season, to become who he designed us to be a people of grace, to be a people of freedom, to know that gospel and that revelation of just how good Jesus is. So I hope that this week, as you move into all of the things that are happening, all of the certainty and the uncertainty, all of the known and the unknown, all of the good, the bad, and as Clint Eastwood says, the ugly, that I hope that you know that we're praying for you and we're with you and that Jesus does indeed change everything. His gospel moves from inside of us and changes us from the inside out to be all that he designed us to be. So we're for you, and we're looking forward to diving deeper into Galatians each week. And so I hope that you'll do that with us. If you're interested in joining the study with us, you can always email me, ryan.smith@goodlife.org.au, and I'll email you access on how to be a part of this journey of Galatians. Can I pray for you guys? I know you just said yes, so let's pray. God, thanks for our time today. God, thanks for the story that we have secured in the scriptures about how Paul, God, was transformed by your Holy Spirit when he met Jesus, and how he was able to take the things that were unique about him and go from, God, just the terrorizing that he did to the transforming work of sharing your gospel with so many people. God, I pray that truth would find a home in our hearts this week, that we would understand that the thing that is unique about us, Jesus is inviting us into a transformative work, God, to share that with the world. And I pray that as we move into that, God, as we stretch the wings of our faith, as we step into the unknown, as we step out of our comfort zones in many, many cases, God, I pray that you would go before us and that we would see your good hand of protection and provision in that as we move out in faith, God, to share ourselves with others, God, to be a part of that transforming work that you're doing. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we look forward, God, to how you're going to continue to move and work in us and through us. And so in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.